Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hello Spurs fans around the world and welcome to a second Spurs show this week. This one is a special preview show for Sunday's game against Chelsea, which really, I mean, we'll have the neutrals chomping at the bit to have a look at this one because, well, two extremely good sides, it would appear. Very kindly, they've agreed to come back and preview this game, my guest from earlier this week. First of all, welcome back Richard Blancheflower, son of the great Danny.
Thank you.
And welcome back, Dame Julie Welch, chronicler of Tottenham Hotspur, guardian of our brand and our narrative. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Well, what a game we have in store on Sunday. I was thinking about it. What I do is, because I'm so sad, I wake up in the night and I try and get back to sleep. What I do is I read the papers, then I read a book. And then when my eyelids start to droop, my last stage is I pick the teams for the forthcoming game. And this game is so exciting. It has the opposite effect. I mean, rather than me going off to sleep, it wakes me right up again, because one of the reasons I'm excited about this game is I don't know how many times we've won in the league at Chelsea in the last 30 years, but I'm guessing it's about twice. That's off the top of my head. Maybe once or twice in the last 30 years. Because even before Chelsea became this moneyed superpower, they still, for several years, had the old voodoo sign over us. And I think we go into this game with a good chance, of going toe-to-toe with them. Do you see it that way, Richard?
Yes. Yes, I do. I certainly don't think we'll get overrun in midfield. I mean, our match against Chelsea at Wise Hart Lane last year was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, we were shocking. As I say, we're more aggressive now, a lot more confident, and with a stronger squad. It'll be a very interesting game to see. Plus, also, Chelsea, I'm not sure that they've replaced the centre-backs they've lost very easily. Rudiger's gone now, hasn't he?
And yeah.
Didn't the Brazilian have a hamstring trouble?
He's
a good player.
But, yeah, he is.
Yeah, yeah. Alonso might be going to Barcelona, maybe, might he? I don't know. So, Werner's gone back to Leipzig, hasn't he? There's sort of quite a lot of disruption there. Be interesting to see.
Yeah, that you're right. There is disruption in their squad amongst their personnel. And also Tuchel has been quite vocal in his dissatisfaction with their transfer activity, and interestingly, the one big signing they have made is that Cucurella from Brighton.
Yeah,
but most objective observers say that was not a position they were desperately in need. They haven't really got a centre forward. Werner's gone. They're playing. The only kind of number nine they can play is a false nine. So that would either be Havertz or Sterling. Julie, I mean, in all those terrible years going to Stamford Bridge and getting nothing almost every single time, or maybe a point, do you feel that this might be the best chance we've had in a long time to get something more than that?
Well, I'm just going on a sort of little nostalgia trip of the day Dele Alli did his stuff.
Yeah.
What season was that? 16-17, was it? I've got the photo, it's framed, I've kept it, of him sauntering past the crowd.
Yeah.
And I just remember feeling so triumphant. It was so fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very wary of being complacent about this because somehow, whatever happens, they're always so damn good.
Yeah. I mean, they've still got a load of extremely good players.
Just they've got some very good players and a very good coach.
He's a top coach. He's in that same elite league as our coach, and just by virtue of the money they've spent over the years, Yeah, they've got great players. I mean, Raheem Sterling, they bought Raheem Sterling. I mean, he's an absolute international superstar, and it was regarded as quite unremarkable. But I mean, he's a top player. I saw a bit of them at the weekend, and he looked good. He looks motivated. Mount's obviously a good player, and Havertz. And although I said they didn't have a centre forward, that's not a bad forward line. And then they picked from four really good midfielders. They've got Kovacic, didn't play at the weekend. They've got Kante. They've got Jorginho. They've got another one, but I can't remember who it is. But
Mason Mount?
Good. Sorry?
Mason Mount?
Well, Mason Mount, who can play deep or further forward. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hudson-Odoi's going off on loan somewhere.
Conor Gallagher, you're thinking of, are you?
Conor Gallagher. I mean, Conor Gallagher was one of the outstanding players in the Premier League last season, and there he is back there, yeah.
You can only play 11 at one time, though.
That's true. That's true. That is true. But I mean, like us, they will. There's five subs. So with us and with them, this having these riches on the bench could well. I mean, our subs in the Southampton game, he only put them on late, almost just to give them a little run out, didn't he? But there was no need. There was no need to change anything. Everything was going very, very well. And the first sub, I think, came on. I think it was Perisic came on about halfway through the second half, and the rest of them came on from 86 minutes. Whereas a game like this, I wonder, because this is a different type of game. This is when the big teams play each other, obviously it's almost like a little mini league within itself. And I'm so delighted to be able to say, because this time last year, we could only dream of being considered one of the big teams. We're certainly one of the big teams right now. And it's a whole different thing. And I wonder if those... You know, a total of 10 substitutions could take place in this game, and they could be absolutely crucial, couldn't they? I mean, do you think Conte might be tempted to change the starting lineup, Richard?
I doubt it. I think he'll start with the 11 that started last Saturday, and then if he feels he needs to make any changes, he can do so on two or three occasions during the game. But we shall see.
Julie, do you think? I mean, I'm interested with Perisic, because Perisic's position.
I wonder whether he'll start Perisic. Yeah, because of the opposite.
Because the one player out of all these new ones that would have expected to start most games would be Perisic. Having said that, apparently he's been coaching and advising Sessegnon in training.
Yeah, isn't that
maybe
lovely?
The deal? Yeah, I love that. And maybe the deal is, maybe Conte said, look, you're 33. The position you play involves a lot of physical exertion, more than any other position. You've got to get up and down and up and down. We've got a really good kid here. Help me to get more out of him. And then you and he will effectively share the position. Maybe that's the deal.
180k a week.
Exactly. Plus, there's a small matter of 180k a week. I hope that's all right. Yes, okay. I will consider this job. Thank you very much.
I mean, he is a sort of granddad figure, I think, Perisic.
Yeah, but of course, still useful.
I think now so many good players play until their mid-30s. I mean, in the past, anybody who was playing, you know, beyond the age of 30 was sort of going down and down into the sort of lower leagues because they just couldn't bear to leave football. But now, Modric, for instance, is the classic example. A lot of the Real Madrid players are coming up to middle age almost. Yeah. And you know, if a guy is now sort of fit into his mid-30s and beyond, then there's no reason why they can't carry on. But I do think that you're right. He's the mentor to Sessegnon in my mind now.
Yeah, and that can only be a good thing, can't it? If he's coaching him, and he may well be able to help players in other positions as well. I mean, young Spence coming through. I mean, you know, as you said in our previous show, Emerson Royal is he's young. You know, and he's getting better and better and better, and he'll benefit from that sort of advice and wisdom, I would have thought. It would be good to have Richarlison on the bench as well, Richard, do you think?
Yeah. A very, very good option. Funnily enough, I didn't think Son and Kane were at their absolute best last Saturday, so it was even more encouraging to score four goals when that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. One newcomer I do expect to see fairly quickly is Bissouma, which I think was a terrific signing. He was very impressive for Brighton against us in two or three games last season.
Yeah.
Very strong. You know, the sort of player I think you need in tough away games.
Yes. And he could come in. Well, again, he'll probably end up rotating. That's another physically demanding position. So he could come in for either Højbjerg or Bentancur.
Probably rotating for Højbjerg, I suspect.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah. And then we've got Skip to come back, who is also a very, I mean, again, so you definitely want four top players in that. To be able to rotate, as I said earlier, Chelsea have it, so and so do all the top teams. You need that. Richarlison, it's good to have a centre forward on the bench. It's funny what you say about Kane, because I was looking at the BBC. I absolutely hate these things, and I always look at them despite myself. But you know when they get the punters to give marks out of 10 for all the players, and then they add them all up, and Kane got the lowest mark for Tottenham on Saturday, which I thought was quite funny. And then I remembered, of course, the old legend of Kane is he never scores in August. He's always a late starter. And it seems like he's gone back. I mean, last year he didn't even bother to turn up for August. He just said, should we just blow August out altogether? This year, but I thought he looked sharp in pre-season, but just shows you pre-season doesn't mean much.
I was looking back to, do you remember Son was dribbling the ball along the box and Kane was screaming at him to pass. And I thought that's Son recreating Ricky Villa's goal at the one that won the 1981 FA Cup.
Yeah.
Kane was right. He should have passed that. But
he should have. Yeah. Well, they're great. They're like all the great strike partnerships. They have the rapport. They're incredibly effective together. They have a great affection. You can tell that. But they're also very, very cross when they don't get the pass when they should have done. That's for sure.
You've got to be a bit greedy to be a good striker, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, what I do need to do, I'm afraid, I hate to burden you with this task, but I do need to ask you both to make an actual score prediction for this game. At the Bridge on Sunday. Julie, you go first. How do you see it?
I'm going 3-1 to the Spurs.
Wow. Like it. Richard?
The prediction, is this what I hope for or what I think will happen?
What you think will happen?
Chelsea 2, Tottenham 1.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Oh, well, we don't even get a prediction like that, but I'm hoping.
Theo, if you start with low expectations, it's a lot easier not to be upset.
I like it. It's called expectation management,
isn't
it?
There you go.
I like that, because normally, and we've taken a lot of stick over the years for some outlandishly optimistic predictions that have gone horribly wrong. So hope that...
If you offer me a draw now, I'd take it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'd take a draw there, because we're not going to win every game this season. So if you think of it that way, there are certain games where assuming you're not going to win every game, you probably at the beginning of the season, they say you can get a draw away at Chelsea, City and Liverpool. You'd take them all, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Even though we won at City last year, of course, drew at Liverpool. But we never get anything from Chelsea as a rule. But I think Chelsea will be wary. I think there's a certain amount of discontent. They've got a little bit of injuries. They look vulnerable at the back. We don't. We look like we've got very potent goal scorers against a slightly shaky defence. They look like they haven't quite got finishers against a solid defence that seems to... The great thing about our back three is they've played a lot of games together now. They feel like a solid unit, don't they?
Yeah, they're not the quickest, though.
No, that's true. That's true. They're not that quick. And you've got Sterling and Havertz, and they're quite pacey. Yeah. So they've got to be careful about pushing up too much and leaving anything in behind, especially as the wing-backs push very, very far forward. I think Julie's gone to just check on her potatoes. Are they okay?
No, it was the dog and his owner arriving.
There was
background dialogue.
Okay. Well, my prediction, I'm going to go with 1-1. I'm going to go with 1-1, and I reckon we'll be slightly shaded as the better side, so we'll probably all be a little bit disgruntled, but then we'll reflect on it and say, actually, a point at the Bridge isn't bad. So we've covered all bases here. We have covered all the bases. But, you know, as I say, it's a great time to be a Spurs fan. I think we're all agreed that this season promises much, and... thank you so much, both of you, for coming back for this second show this week and to help me with this prediction and with this preview. I hope to see you both again soon. Richard Blanchflower, Dame Julie Welch, thank you very much. Theo Delaney signing off here saying, yeah, you Spurs!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.